I'm glad to tell you that this morning here I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Peter Mutere Zanua, if I hope I pronounce your name rightly, who is UNOF's country representative in South Sudan. Peter, good morning and good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Thank you so much. Good morning. It's my pleasure being here as well.
Let's start with this particular fund. Just briefly tell us about it.
The fund is actually coming from the IDA grant, World Bank, funded for the South Sudan government. It's actually to benefit South Sudanese who are in a certain bracket of vulnerability. UNOP is actually facilitating implementing the fund in partnership with the Minister of Agriculture, Minister of Finance, and Minister of Gender. So we are facilitating it on behalf of the government of South Sudan and on behalf of the World Bank.
And this this fund particularly, can you tell us about the specifics that this fund hopes to achieve?
It's actually going to support families and individuals who are vulnerable. And it was actually crafted and agreed before the COVID-19 pandemic. Mm-hmm. With the COVID-19 pandemic outbreak, the fund is also going to encompass and include and cover people who have been affected socially and economically. We can actually see that a number of people are sliding into the deeper vulnerability group due to the negative impact of COVID. But basically, the money is supposed to support vulnerable families for them to come out of that deep vulnerability economically. They can use it for their own household purposes, to buy or to support their families.
Mm-hmm. And what exactly is this project that the fund is meant for, and how will the community be involved?
The project is going to benefit communities in 19 counties, including Juba. But now, because of the COVID and also the travel restrictions, the project will focus on Juba first until the whole situation stabilizes. Communities are going to be identified, beneficiaries going to be identified by the communities, and they're going to be registered and they receive cash. Initially, they were supposed to be working before they received the cash, so we call it a work for cash or a cash for work. But because of the current situation, they will work later because we have to manage the whole pandemic. Issues of exposure and the issues of coming together, we have to maintain the social distancing. Mm-hmm. So they will receive the money and they will work later.
And what's the target number of people that this fund will reach, and how long will this project take?
The project is supposed to be running for 30 months, mm-hmm. 2.5 years, across a number of counties, like I mentioned before. And it's supposed to actually benefit 430,000 people.
Yes, and any anticipated challenges and how you hope to address them?
In terms of the COVID-19 pandemic, yes, there are going to be challenges, restrictions in movement, restrictions in bringing people together. Even the cash transfer, there are places where even the cash itself, holding cash, can be a risk in terms of contamination and exposure. So we are looking at issues of mitigating the whole distribution aspects. We are not going to be able to bring people together. Mm-hmm. We may not actually be able to make people work, like I mentioned. So we are devising methods and ways of making sure that sanitation, actual issues of sanitation, are going to be central to the distribution, making sure that people, we manage the whole aspect of spreading. We are not going to be able to reach all the 10 counties because of the travel restrictions. We're only going to focus in Juba. So other counties are going to come later into the program. If the whole restrictions continue, that means other communities are going to benefit much later than the families in Juba.
Yes, and with donations and funds like these, there's always the question of accountability and making sure that this money actually reaches to the people that it is intended to. What mechanism do you have in place to ensure that this money don't end up, you know, in the wrong pockets? Which normally happens.
UNOPS is actually implementing the second phase of this program, we implemented in conjunction with the Minister of Agriculture an initial project, and all the money, when I say all the money, I'm saying all the money was accounted for. Mm-hmm. There are systems. We use biometric systems for registering beneficiaries. We use either the facial or the fingerprints. And the distribution of cash is done through a bank, commercial bank. That means UNOPS only registers and makes sure that people work. The list of those people who are registered through a biometric system is sent to the commercial bank. Then the bank will go and give the money out. Mm-hmm. So the aspects of accountability using our management information system is very tight, and we think it will be accounted for. Definitely, UNOPS has to be accountable. Mm-hmm. Accounting to the government of South Sudan through the Minister of Finance, Minister of Agriculture, and also accounting to the bank. Definitely, it will be accounted mm-hmm. for.
Mr. Peter, let's take this opportunity also for you to remind us on some of the projects or some of the activities of UNOPS in South Sudan. Some people who don't know what UNOP does, can you just in very brief, tell us on some of the projects and initiatives that the UNOPS is involved in?
Some people know UNOPS as the project's arm of the United Nations. We focus and specialize on projects, managing and implementing projects on behalf of a number of UN agencies and even other entities like the World Bank, USAID. UNOPS has been operational in South Sudan since 2005, initially based in Khartoum and moving to Juba. And we are working in South Sudan in partnership with the government of South Sudan and in partnership also with particular ministries. Our biggest flagship project in South Sudan is infrastructure. Funded by the USAID, we have done a lot of health facilities, education facilities across the country, and roads. And also funded by the EU, mm-hmm. We're also doing a lot of roads in South Sudan. We have worked with the Japanese government to do the assessment of the River Nile to see how feasible the River Nile can be used for economic activities. We are working with a number of donors in the country, and our biggest flagship, like I mentioned, is roads infrastructure, linking farmers to market. Although it's roads, but the idea, the intention, objective is linking farmers to markets.
All right, Mr. Peter, thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. But just before you go, any final remarks and message you'd like to send out there on COVID-19? Today is World Labor Day as well. What's your message to our listener?
Yes, UNOPS is also actually being compliant to COVID-19. We are urging all people, South Sudanese, the people we work with, our own staff, to be compliant to COVID-19. This is not a joke. It's here. It's here to stay. We need to listen. We need to be compliant. We need to listen to what our leaders are telling us. In terms of workers, yes. COVID-19 is actually affecting workers. So I think in solidarity of workers, UNOP says we have to persevere. We have to work hard. Yes, COVID-19 is here, but we need to know that as workers, we also need to preserve our own lives. Thank you.